Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you today from our Chicago studios under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our drama today, When Helen Keller Came to Kfar Uriel, was written by Virginia Mazur.
This is the story of what men can see when their eyes are closed. It was spring when we knew that Helen Keller would come to Israel, the time of the singing bird and the fig tree. At Kfar Uriel, the village for the blind, we waited for her visit. All was excitement. All was preparation. Every day, old Uncle Ezra put another coat of polish on his shoes. Every day, little Leah gathered tight little hands full of flowers for the visitor. And every day, a girl named Esther practiced a song to sing. Her eyes had never seen the green of new leaves, nor the swelling buds, but she sang another man's vision of spring. All through that spring, we at Kfar Uriel waited for Helen Keller to come, for around her, each of us had woven his private legend. Each of us but Daniel. Daniel had no legends about anything.
Look, Daniel. See Leah's flowers? She picked them for Miss Keller.
Little goose. They'll be dead before she comes. It's days and days.
Don't mind him, Leah. You can pick more. We're all preparing something, Daniel. What have you for Miss Keller?
Nothing. I've no desire to meet her. I shall take myself away from all the hubbub.
Poor Daniel.
You may do as you wish, Daniel, but we'd thought you might like to show Miss Keller the woodcraft shop. You've done such a good job there yourself.
No, thanks. I have no desire to meet the lady.
It's up to you. It can be very lonely in the dark, Daniel, I know. But it doesn't have to be.
Who is this Daniel? What manner of man is he? At Kfar Uriel, none of us really knew him. But I will tell you the little I know. Daniel prided himself upon being a realist. He never believed in anything but what he could see. At 12, I can imagine him confounding his elders.
There isn't any God.
Oh, how do you know?
I can't see him.
Shh, Daniel. You mustn't say things like that. God will punish you.
No, he won't. Listen, there isn't any God. See, nothing happened. That proves I'm right.
The boy became a man.
We worry about you, your mother and I. We'd like to see you married before we die. Daniel, have you never been in love?
There's no such thing. The poets invented it so they'd have something to write about. One day I may marry, but not for love. I'll marry because it's the practical thing to do.
Daniel believed only what he could see with his eyes. But don't judge him too harshly. Within the limits of his belief, he lived his life diligently, bravely. Before he came to Israel, Daniel had lived through the siege of the Warsaw Ghetto. He had looked into the face of an enemy machine gun. The machine gun he believed in. He could see it. And act. He had thrown a hand grenade. The machine gunner had fallen. Daniel had seen him fall.
He's dead and I'm alive.
Daniel looked down at his 2 feet planted in the mud to prove he was alive. Above him rode the universe, a billion trillion other worlds, some visible, some unseen. But neither infinity nor the ways of God held any interest for Daniel.
I threw the hand grenade, and now I'm alive.
By his own strength and by his wits, Daniel had survived two concentration camps. He believed in the camps. A number was tattooed on his arm. He could see it. But when men died around him, or he saw them taken away to die, they ceased to exist for him.
It's too bad, but everybody dies sometime. I'll die too one day, and that will be the end. But why think about it now?
When he came to Israel, he shut the past like a book.
I have two good arms and two good legs. I'm still a young man. I'll build a life here nothing can touch.
He joined an agricultural settlement, and there he did the work of two men.
Daniel! Daniel, please stop!
What are you saying, Esther?
It's noon. The sun's too hot to work.
I wish you'd let me alone. I want to finish this field.
Oh, I knew you wouldn't stop. I brought you some water anyway. Here.
That was good.
You didn't thank me.
Run along, Esther, like a good girl, and let me finish this field.
Sometimes after work in the fields was done, the others of the settlement made music, danced. But Daniel worked at building a house for himself. Other men might live in tents for the time being, but Daniel must have a house. A house of stone. A house so strong that nothing could destroy it. One by one, he picked the stones up himself, and one by one, he laid them on top of each other. The others sang, but the walls of Daniel's house rose.
Daniel.
Oh, it's you again, Esther.
We're having a party at Joseph's.
There's a moon tonight.
I know.
It's a good night to work. I can see what I'm doing.
Oh. Daniel, when your house is done, what will you do with it?
Live in it, of course.
It's a big house.
I might marry someday. It would be the practical thing to do. Now I haven't time to bother with it.
Daniel, tell me something. What do you see when you look at me?
Why, you, of course.
I have a ribbon in my hair tonight. It came in a box from America.
So you have. It's red.
It's pretty. I looked in the mirror. I thought I looked nice.
Esther, what in the world are you crying about?
Goodbye, Daniel. I'll go back to the party now. Goodbye.
Daniel's house was almost finished. He had plowed his field, planted it, and gathered in the harvest. And now it was spring again, and Daniel was plowing another field. Suddenly one day, the tractor stopped. With the dumb defiance of inanimate things, it sat stock still in the middle of a row.
Blasted thing.
Daniel got down from his seat. He kicked it. Nothing happened.
I know there's plenty of gasoline. But anyway...
He lighted a match and bent over the tank. Daniel did not see Esther's face bent over him. He was never to see anything of the visible world again. Later, they told him how Esther had died, trying to pull him out of the flames.
I'm very sorry, but she shouldn't have done it. I could have saved myself.
When he was able to leave the hospital, Daniel came to the colony for the blind at Kfar Uriel. Kfar Uriel, it means God is our light. and it is the place where all the people of Israel without sight have come to discover the world that lies beyond the visible. It isn't a sad place, Kfar Uriel. Here families live together if they like. Old Uncle Ezra sits in the sun, napping. A smile flits across his face. He doesn't talk about it, but one day soon, Uncle Ezra is sure his eyes will open again. He's waiting for the heavenly vision. No, Kfar Uriel isn't a sad place. Little Leah flits about the lawn, picking her flowers, and in the workshops, hands move back and forth, touch with love the finished chairs, benches, brooms.
Please, everybody, stop for just a moment. I want you to meet Daniel. He's come to live at Kfar Uriel with us.
Hello, Daniel.
In this shop, we cane chairs, Daniel. Do you think you might like to learn to do that?
Doesn't matter. Anything. Anything so long as it's work. Show me how to begin.
Begin what?
Being blind.
I wish I could show you, Daniel.
You're Daniel. My name is Esther. Our benches in the shop are so close, I thought I'd introduce myself. Why did you jump? Why did you jump when I said my name was Esther?
Did I?
Do you know another Esther?
I said, how do you know I jumped?
You mean I can't see you?
Yes, you're blind.
I felt you jump. When sight goes, other things become stronger. What is it, Daniel?
What's what?
What makes you so unhappy? Why are you laughing?
I can't help it. One blind person saying to another, why are you unhappy?
There's an old proverb. In the dark, a man brushed against a wall and said, this is the end of the world. It isn't, Daniel.
I'd better get back to my chair.
It isn't the end of the world. I want to talk to you, Reuben.
Sit down, Esther. What's bothering you?
It's Daniel.
Oh?
It's new for him, isn't it? Blindness.
It happened last year, the accident.
Sometimes I think I'm lucky. When you're born blind, you make up your world from the beginning. Maybe Daniel will learn to.
I don't know, Esther. It's my feeling Daniel's always been blind. Even before he lost his sight, he was blind.
Don't say that.
You love him?
Of course.
I don't want you hurt.
Loving can't hurt you. It's only not loving.
Antithesis. It's one of life's persistent patterns. We should have known from the beginning that Esther would love Daniel. She lived in a kind of sunlight where she saw with perfect clarity what life really meant. All his days, Daniel had groped like a mole in the dark.
Come to the top of the hill with me, Daniel. We're still an hour before supper.
No, thanks. I'll sit here and smoke.
You're afraid. You're afraid you might stumble because you don't know the way. Take my arm, I'll show you.
I don't want to be led around. I dream about a man with a cane and a tin cup, somebody leading him.
It's not such a bad dream.
It's awful.
Suppose the man were alone.
I don't mind being alone. Not if I can be independent. That's why I came here, to learn a trade, to learn to make my own way, not to be dependent.
That's impossible.
I thought that's what they preached here. Self-help, independent.
Oh, in one sense, yes, but in the sense I mean, we're all dependent on each other. Imagine a man alone on a desert island all his life. He might feed himself, clothe himself, build a shelter and survive, but who is he?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, we only know who we are by knowing other people. Through loving, hating, creating, and destroying.
This is way over my head. I never think about things like that.
What do you think about?
Nothing. Now.
It's like you were in a desert, isn't it? Where everything is lifeless, where there's no sun or moon.
How did you know? I've had that dream, too.
Come with me, Daniel. There's a lovely view on top of the hill. Isn't it a lovely view?
A view is something you see.
Up here, I feel like I'm on top of the world. The wind blows around you and the sky is so close. Everything's possible up here. Would you rather I didn't talk?
Either way.
Look. Look, here's a primrose. First one this year.
How do you know it's a primrose?
Because it is. What is a primrose to you, Daniel?
It's a flower, of course. A yellow flower with a sort of sticky center.
A primrose by a river's brim. A yellow primrose was to him, and it was nothing more. It was in a school book when I was a child. I had to learn it.
I never cared for poetry. Look, what else is a primrose but a primrose?
Whatever God or man is. That's another poem. So funny, Daniel. You know what a primrose looks like. You can remember. I never saw a primrose, but I know what it is.
Daniel climbed to the top of a hill, holding onto Esther's arm. He held a primrose in his hand, and he climbed down again. But without his knowing, the darkness had been pricked. That night, as he tried to sleep, he saw a primrose, saw it for the first time. And seeing the primrose, he saw other things he'd never seen before. Faces flashed before him, like faces one sees suddenly lit by lightning. A man at Buchenwald being dragged away between two guards.
No, don't take him.
The face of the other Esther, a red ribbon in her hair.
Goodbye, Daniel. I'll go back to the party. Goodbye.
No, come back. Come back. Come back.
A sudden flash of light can be more terrifying than a darkness one is used to. When morning came with its accustomed sounds, Daniel retreated from his visions. It was too big a burden that he had been blind all his life.
Will you come to the top of the hill again this evening, Daniel?
No, Esther. I've work to do.
In the workshop now, he did the work of two men. He worked as if the chair he was caning were a demon he was fighting.
You make me afraid, Daniel. What are you doing?
Caning a chair.
No. Will you come to the top of the hill with me tonight?
Why do you keep asking and asking me? No, I won't come.
Not ever?
Never.
It was that same spring when word came that Helen Keller would come to Israel. At Kfar Uriel, we waited for her visit, and excitement ran like sap in the trees. Every day, Uncle Ezra put another coat of polish on his shoes. Every day, little Leah gathered tight little hands full of flowers to give the visitor.
Look at Leah's flowers, Daniel. Primroses for Miss Keller.
They'll be dead before she gets here. It'll be days and days yet.
Don't mind them, Leah. You can pick more new flowers every day. Daniel, Leah has flowers. I have a song. All of us have something. What have you for Miss Keller?
Nothing. I shall take myself away. I don't know what all the fuss is about. None of you know her.
We do know her.
You mean you've read about her?
No. We know her. Each of us in a different way. For Uncle Ezra, I imagine she's the woman she is today, with her life behind her mostly, like his is. Her work finished, something new about to begin. For little Leah, I think she's still a child, The blind child that used to cry in the dark like Leah does. And then a teacher would come. What does she mean to you that makes you want to hide, Daniel?
She means nothing. Nothing at all.
Poor Daniel.
Esther, stop it.
Stop what?
That song. You've been humming it all morning. I can't work.
Oh, I didn't know I was humming. It's on my mind, I guess. She'll be here tomorrow, and it's what I'm going to sing. Daniel, what does the song remind you of that you don't want to remember?
Oh, leave me alone.
No, Daniel, what? What do you want to forget?
Nothing. There was this party that night at Settlement. They kept singing that song. A girl, her name was Esther, kept trying to get me to come. She had a red ribbon in her hair. Now, are you satisfied?
No. She loved you, didn't she? Didn't she?
She was killed trying to save my life. Yes, she loved me. God help her. Now, will you leave me in peace?
It was spring, the time of the singing bird and the fig, when Helen Keller came to Kfar Uriel. Everything was as we had imagined it in our mind's eye. Little Leah gave her flowers. Uncle Ezra's boots shone. We gathered round her, touched her garments, pressed her hand. And the legend we had woven around this woman was made flesh. Only suddenly, I knew something was missing.
Come in.
Daniel, it's Reuben.
If you've come to get me, it's no use.
You can do what you please. It's Esther I'm worried about.
Esther? What's wrong?
I don't know. She's not over at the hall.
I can't understand it. She talked and talked about Miss Keller's coming. She was going to sing.
I know, and now she's gone. I've looked in all the buildings, all over the grounds. Have you any idea where she might be?
Maybe. If you want me to, I'll try to find her.
For the first time in his life, Daniel acted upon instinct. He knew that if he climbed to the top of the hill, Esther would be there.
Esther? Esther, I've come to get you. They're waiting for you. You're crying. Don't, Esther. I can't stand to hear you cry. What is it, Esther?
I couldn't face it. All my life, she's meant for me that you could push back the darkness. And now she's here. For the first time in my life, I feel blind.
Why? Why do you feel blind?
It doesn't matter anymore, I'll say it. I love you, Daniel. And you don't love me. You don't love anyone. I'm all alone.
You're not alone, Esther. I'm here. You've got a ribbon in your hair.
Can you see me, Daniel?
You're beautiful. Esther, they're waiting for you. They're waiting for you to sing. Take my arm. I know the way now.
It was spring when Helen Keller came to Kfar Uriel. The time of the singing bird and the cuckoo. Uncle Ezra's boots glistened. Little Leah gave her flowers. And a girl named Esther, who had never looked upon the green of new leaves nor the swelling buds, sang another man's vision of spring. And as Esther sang, a man named Daniel, blind all his life, saw for the first time. Hazorim, 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 Bodima, Bodima, Bodima.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Louis Weiner, immediate past president of the Chicago Council of United Synagogues of America and Chicago Manufacturer. Mr. Weiner.
The moving story which you have just heard was woven around persons who are blind. We usually conceive of blindness in its dark physical meaning as the absence of sight. As this script made clear, however, there are many levels and degrees of blindness. The deeper and less obvious level of this affliction is the blindness of the spirit, which Daniel exemplified. The irony of this story lies in the fact that although Daniel was not born blind, he lived a blind life. And at the time that he became aware of the meaning of the world and its relationship to other human beings, he was physically handicapped. There are indeed many levels of blindness that we are constantly surrounded by them. For are not prejudice, arrogance, and anger the common blindnesses of man, causing him to falter and stumble? We are all aware how frequently out of suffering is born a new and deeper insight into an appreciation of the true dimension of life. For the knowledge that comes of suffering is a knowledge directed inward. Daniel, as a blind man, understood himself for the first time, for this understanding was not contingent upon the physical sense of sight. Although Daniel was physically blind, he achieved vision, exemplifying the struggle for spiritual vision. The living symbol of the triumph over physical adversity is Helen Keller. We associate the name of Helen Keller with the faith and will of the spirit of man, causing him to rise above the level of mere existence. Her greatness lies in her fulfillment as a human being. The Bible teaches us, in thy light we see light. For even with our afflictions and handicaps, with our blindness both physical and spiritual, it is incumbent upon man, created in the divine image, not to allow himself to remain in darkness, but to search for the light.
Thank you, Mr. Weiner. Our Eternal Light drama today, When Helen Keller Came to Kfar Uriel, was written by Virginia Mazur. Cantor Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Maurice Copeland as narrator and Sam Siegel as Daniel. The music was written by Morris Mamorski and conducted by Joseph Galicchio. The production was under the direction of Howard G. Keegan. Free time to present The Eternal Light is made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America and came to you today from Chicago. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.